So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity, the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts, of birds, of reptiles, of creatures, of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Verse 10. From the same mouth come forth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Insights from James and from Solomon regarding our tongue. Now, we often end our morning gathering together as a bit of a benediction from Psalm 19, verse 14. And it says, Lord, it's a prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, I believe that for all of us, and James, I believe, I trust, has helped us, that all of us, we need a spiritual assessment. We need to take a spiritual assessment of our lives from time to time. And here James, he said, well, let's here in this third chapter, let's assess our tongues, our conversations, the things we say, and how we say it. And we know from Scripture that, you know, the tongue reflects what? It reflects our heart, right? It reflects our soul. It reflects the real us. And so why is King Solomon in the book of Proverbs gives much to us to consider when we think of our tongues? Proverbs 13:3, he writes, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life." That's quite a statement, isn't it? When you think about it for more than just a second. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. How many of you have gotten into trouble because of your mouth? How many never did? Not that many hands up, right? Solomon got it right, didn't he? I mean, he was wise, and we need to guard our mouth. We'll hear that over and over again the next few minutes together. Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch your heart. What's the spring? Where did the spring up to? It springs up to our mouth, to our tongue, that others might hear. You know, and as I think of the words that we say, we need to include what else? You know, words that we write. You know, these days we've gone from writing letters to texting and emails and whatever else is out there. That's the only ones I know to do. But even in that, words can, you know, encourage, and words can sting. And as someone said, you know, it's better to talk one-on-one, because whatever we may type or write on an email or a text or whatever, that lives on forever, doesn't it? And sometimes it's misunderstood and there's no immediate way to clarify it, depending on how people might read it and how they might understand what it is that you're sharing with others. And the warning of Proverbs 18:6, "A fool's lips bring strife. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows." Thank you, Solomon. Some of us just need a good smack in the mouth sometimes. Is that what he's saying? Yeah. I've had a few of those.
teacher.
My mom, when I brought home some bad words I learned at school that were not used in my house, I thought I'd try them out on my mom. I didn't dare try them out on my dad. I don't remember her smacking my mouth many times. I remember kicking me by the ear into the bathroom, sticking my head down over the sink and using soap on my teeth between my unwilling lips, but somehow she got to them, and we do not use those words in this house, young man. The mouth was reflecting a rebellious, stubborn, selfish, prideful heart. And that's how she dealt with it. What did you say there again, Solomon? A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. He goes on. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Some of us have been in courthouses, and we've been in court, you know, watching, listening, defending, whatever else, and we see court TV perhaps, and they call witnesses. And the words of witnesses have been the cause for some going to jail for a short time and a long time, and some losing their life because of someone sharing what they saw, what they knew, through their voice, through their tongue. The tongue has great power, does it not? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so in our text, James 3, James says that it's remarkable that with the same mouth we can both praise God and curse our fellow men. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, we can praise God and we can, you know, and if you think that's not true, maybe I'm the only one. Now, I listen to Christian radio a lot driving down the road, and I'm on the road quite a bit between stuff, you know, and people and all the rest. But I can be singing along, and then somebody cuts me off. I can both praise God and I can, but yet it's, you know, honestly, it's an expression of my fallen nature. It's a reminder that I have not arrived yet, and I don't really need to be reminded of that. You know, I'm very aware. But yet, how many times thereafter, even though the guilty party out there didn't hear me or couldn't read my thoughts, a minute or two after or last, I had said, "Oh Lord, I've got such a long ways to go. I'm so sorry for that." You know, he may be having a bad day. He may have just gotten bad news. Maybe he needs to change his glasses. Who knows? Whatever it is, Lord, forgive me. And how many times have I done the same thing, both knowingly or unknowingly? No doubt times without number. I've done the same thing. With the same mouth, we both praise God and we, what does it say? We curse men. And James goes on to say, it shouldn't be this way. So we need to take an assessment. Is that you? Is that me? Yeah, I've got a ways to go. And so James speaks to this, as does, we see, King Solomon as well. Our words, your words and mine, can cause strife, and they can create dissension, they can hurt feelings, and they can be used to what else? They can be used to encourage, can't they? Our voices, our tongues, our words, they can nourish others, they can heal others. This last week is interesting, two conversations. The one with a fella, I knew who he was, he knew who I was, we didn't know each other, and I met him at my daughter's. And just he and I introduced myself, and he introduced himself, and we had about a 20-minute conversation. I'm sure 19 minutes of that 20, he talked. And 1 minute, you know, maybe I shook my head and said yes, no, or okay, or that's great, or whatever. But, you know, God's Word talks about that. Yesterday, a name came to my mind from my childhood, early teen years particularly, a guy by the name of Dwayne. He and I did horses together. We chased girls together. We went. We were in church together. We were in Sunday school class together. We went to Christian camp together, and I seen him once in the last, I figured out yesterday, almost 55 years ago, I've seen him once, and that's the only time I've talked to him in all that time. But he came to mind, and I called somebody who knew about him, knew his wife, and she gave me the number, and I called Duane, and I know he had some rough years away from the Lord, and he got in some real trouble, and he did well in life financially, although now he's been in a wheelchair for 7 years. Lives in Texas. And I didn't know what to think, what I was going to find about Duane, if he'd even talk to me. But the word I got said, don't, if you call him, he won't answer if your name's not on his list. And it wasn't, of course. But text him first. I sent a little text. I said, hi, Duane, this is me, and can I call you? And right back, and okay. And so we talked about 20 minutes, and I didn't know what I was going to hear from Duane. It's been a long time. The last reports I heard from people who knew him, that he was down a rough road spiritually. And as we talked, he said, oh, I wish I could buy back my last 10 years. They were so bad and they were so sad. He said, but now, he says, I'm living for the Lord. He said, I can hardly get out of the house. He said, but I live on a cul-de-sac and most of my neighbors are Christians. And sometimes we just kind of gather around on the road and we sing praises to our Lord. You just, you know, one conversation, I left just kind of shaking my head, not, you know, a fella who just kind of overwhelmed me with bad news. Another conversation, Duane, how are you? And he came back, oh, how are you? And tell me about your life and where have you been and how have you been? And that went back and forth. Just lifting up one another. How? With our tongues. Long ways from here to Texas. I'm sure I wouldn't recognize him walking down the street. I certainly wouldn't recognize his voice. But the power of the tongue. Someone said if we just let people talk long enough, we will find out what that person is really all about. If we let people talk long enough, we'll really find out what that person is all about. And I think that's generally true, don't you? Talk long enough. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 4, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of your heart, this is what comes out of your mouth. Out of my mouth. Clearly, our use of words, both spoken and written, can do what? Much good, but also we know that they can do much harm. And how many of us, in our looking back at our lives, we can think of times, even perhaps as children, people have said something to us, often just a phrase or a word or two or a sentence or two, and we still remember that. Do you? Some of you? And how cutting it was. But I can still remember a fifth grade school teacher, and I didn't do well in those first years of school. I didn't do that great later on either. But I can remember Miss Anderson taking me aside, and she said, and now they called me Bobby at that time. She said, Bobby, I know you struggled with some of these things, but I want you to know you've got it and you can do it. Just a couple words. And that motivated me for a long time. And it still does from time to time. A couple words, fifth grade, how old was I, 10? The power of words, both to lift up and to tear down. And I bet there's some here today that have been words that were said to you in anger or disgust or criticism that you've lived with for many, many years, particularly by someone who you knew or respected or who you loved and has never gotten away. And so James reminds us, as Christians, now, what's behind us is behind us. But yet today, in the days ahead, we need to be mindful. We need to be conscious of the privilege that God has given to us and the responsibility and the carefulness that needs to be ours in the use of our tongues and our conversation with and about one another. Words that harm. NIV, Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like a sword. The words of the reckless pierce like a sword. Or another translation said, speaking rashly is like a piercing sword. Where does it harm? Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening brings folly to his shame. You know how many and how often some of us were ready with an answer before we even hear all of the question, right? We're ready with an answer before we hear all of the situation. We've got it figured out. We can't wait to jump in. Our mind is racing along to share with whatever is in our mind. He who answers before listening brings folly to his shame. Brings folly to his shame. Harmful words are often found when spoken words are too numerous. Harmful words are often found when spoken words are too numerous. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Do you talk a lot? What's he saying? If you talk a lot, there's a better chance of getting your tongue backwards and upside down and doing more harm than good. Thank you, Solomon. And there's some of us, perhaps, who need to be able to share a little more. That people might help, that people might pray, that people might be encouraged through us. But that's pretty clear. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. You know, an old Puritan put it this way. Listen to this. I love reading some of the old Puritans back in the 1700s, 1600s. And he said, an unbridled tongue is a chariot of the devil. An unbridled tongue is a chariot of the devil. You know, when we were kids, I'm guessing all of us heard this somewhere. This little phrase, I'll start it, you finish it, okay? Sticks and stones
break my bones, but nails will never hurt me.
Yeah, we all knew that, didn't we? Well, what have we learned since those days? That's not true, right? You know, a smack in the mouth, as we read earlier, might, you know, we'll get over that. But boy, there can be words that we've never gotten over. But names will often harm me. And some of us can say, yeah, I've heard them. And perhaps you, like me, you could say honestly, yes, I've said them. I've said them. I've said words. I've said words that have harmed others, that have put them down, that have been unkind, unfair, unloving. By our words, we can destroy our neighbor. By our words, we can devastate. By our words, we can hurt our children. We can smear forever a reputation by our words. So Solomon writes to his son. He says, it's very, very important to guard your lips. And in doing so, to guard your life as well. Because reckless, foolish talk can bring you to ruin. I'm paraphrasing much of what we've already read. I've read to you from the book of Proverbs. They taught us as little kids in Sunday school, and I'll bet you know the words of this song. I think I've quoted it a time or two. Little chorus. Oh, be careful, little... Yeah, be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, and then having to do with our text this morning. Be careful, little lips, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, lips, tongue, what you say. We learned it as kids. How many learned that chorus somewhere along the line? You heard it? I can remember, I bet I was singing that when I was 3 years old, back in beginners in the basement of Calvary Baptist Church in Sycamore, Illinois. It's still something that I need to sing today as well. And maybe you do too. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Some of these things we've learned so long ago are still so very, very appropriate So very appropriate today, isn't that true? Think how many words you have used already today. How many words have you used already today on the phone or talking to your spouse or your neighbor or, I want to say talking to yourself maybe, I don't know. Any harmful words among them? Any harmful words this morning that you talk to somebody on the phone or you type to somebody on the computer or whatever? You know, if you're paying attention to our earlier reading in James, it says that the very source of all kinds of animosity and abusive language, its very source is none other than what? Did you get that word, that four-letter word? Its very source is what? What's the word that we read? Hell. Do you see it in there? It's in your text. The source of this stuff. Devil, please. When we use abusive, unkind, unloving, unhelpful words, one with, towards, or about another. James uses two illustrations for us, and we'll get to that another time, to impact this little thing called the tongue. He said that the tongue is like the rudder on a big ship. The tongue is like the bit on a big horse's mouth. If there's anything we could rightly say about the abuse, if there's anything we can rightly say about the abuse of our tongues, it is that it divides people. The abuse of our tongue divides. It divides people. Pascal, that great philosopher and mathematician, once said, listen, he says, and that's been a while, he said, I lay it as a fact, if all men knew what others say about them, there would not be four friends in the whole world. Interesting, isn't it? You know, it's beyond our comprehension to estimate how many friendships are broken, how many reputations have been ruined, the peace of many, a home's destroyed through careless words. And I have to raise my hand and I have to say, yeah, I'm guilty of some of that. I'm guilty of some of that, and I need to repent of some of that. You know, it's been suggested that the fact that something is true does not always demand its repetition. Isn't that true? Because something is true, it doesn't always demand its repetition. We need to ask not only is it true, but is it kind? Is it necessary? And if it isn't, forget it. James is hard on us, isn't he? I would love this Memorial Day to just give a happy message, but we're going through James, you know, and we're going through it. And we need it. It was written verse upon verse and line upon line and chapter upon chapter. And if it was written that way, it needs to be studied that way. It's easy to skip over some of this stuff, particularly for me, because it bites. And it'd be easier for me on Sunday morning because some of these things don't attract. Boy, I get to that church and holy moly, I ain't going back there again. You know what that preacher said? I went there to be lifted up, and man, I was kicked in the backside. God's Word does that, and we as Christians, you and I are following the Lord. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to hear clearly where we're at and what we're doing and what we're thinking and how that flows out into what we're saying and what we're typing. We do. I do. Do you? I do. Again, Solomon puts it, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. King James puts part of that, says, a whisperer separateth chief friends. A whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, we heard others say to us, I'm only telling this to you because it's true, but the fact that it's true, as I mentioned before, it does not necessarily demand to be repeated. Some things are better left unsaid. Some things are better left forgotten. The Apostle Paul, instructing believers in the city of Ephesus, churches there in Ephesians chapter 5, he says this. He says, I want you not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but I want you to be people who are filled with the Spirit of God, so you will speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, words not only can harm people, divide people, but our words can also destroy our praise as well. They can destroy our praise. You know, it's been said there are three things that do not come back, and one is a spent arrow, a shot arrow, that doesn't come back. The second one is a spoken word, that doesn't come back. And the third one is a lost opportunity. A lost opportunity. You know, there's an old Puritan story, and as we start to come to the end here, an old Puritan story about a woman. She came to her pastor, a godly woman, and she said, "Pastor," she said, I've been guilty of slander, and I've repented of it, and I want you to help me. I don't want to use my tongue in putting people down and saying bad things, and the words she used, slander. I've been guilty of slander, and I've repented of it. Help me with that. The wise old Puritan pastor said, "Well, here, I'll tell you what. I want you to gather up a whole bunch of chicken feathers. Put them in a bucket. And walk around your community where you live, dear sister, and put a feather on every front porch of every home." Okay. And so she did. She came back and told the pastor, "Well, I did." The pastor said, "Okay." This was the next day, and he said to her, "I want you to go back and pick them all up." I think you get the point. She said, "Oh, Pastor, they won't be there." He said, "That's how it is with slander. That's how it is with a bad word. You can repent, and you can ask for forgiveness, but so often some of these things that we say in haste, we say in anger, we say impatient, we say in pride, there's no taking them back, just like those feathers. Who knows where they go and how they spread and what effect they have on others. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say." Words that harm, words that help. I like that better, don't you? Words that help. Again, Solomon, Proverbs 16:27, he says negatively, he said, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like a scorching fire. But then, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. I like that, don't you? A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Instead of a scorching tongue, a tongue employed to encourage, to enrich, to reconcile, to forgive, to unite, to lift up, and to bless. Proverbs 25:11, like golden apples in silver settings are words fitly spoken. You know, I enjoy words. I do. Every now and then I'll find a word somewhere on my computer screen when it kind of shuts down and goes to these things that scroll across. It has words and definitions on it. Now, I know some of them, but some of them I don't. And every now and then, I'm going into my office, there'll be a word there, and it'll catch my attention. I don't know that one, and so I'll look, and about that time the definition is gone. It drives me nuts. But I enjoy words, you know, and I enjoy names, particularly old names. And often, just the other day, I was at Publix, and the girl behind the counter, you know, they have their name tags on, right? Sometimes at McDonald's, they'll have a name, their first name on it, and I don't remember the name, but they catch my attention, particularly if they're old or they're somehow unique. And so, just trying to be friendly and encourage her. Sometimes I'll ask. I said, "Oh," and some of the names I can't pronounce, I just leave them alone. I can butcher them, but anyway, but names I can pronounce, even if I don't know them, or old names, I'll make some comment and I say, "Oh, I really like that name." I said, did you get that from somebody, you know, an aunt or a brother or somebody? It's interesting in their stories, what they tell. One the other day, I can't remember the name, but it was a kind of a strange one, but I could pronounce it. And she said, well, my dad's father's name was this, and my mother's name was that. And they put the two together and came up with whatever it was. But, you know, it's just a word. It's a name, and it's an opportunity for you and I as Christians just to show a smile in someone who has a job that, and they may be having a bad day, but part of their job is to what? Suck it up and smile. But to show a little interest. And it is nothing more than, you know, to show interest in somebody's name. Yes, last night I visited Keita in the hospital. Late in the afternoon. And, you know, I thought when I went in the hospital, you know, to give her name. And who are you here to see? Keita Heslinger. And, you know, they're looking. And thankfully, she's got kind of her last name is not Smith. You know, so they found that. And so I'm talking to Keita, and she said, you know, my first name isn't Keita. And I said, I wondered about that. She said, no, and it was a combination name from way back when, and she told me what it was, and I can't remember it still. But names are interesting things, aren't they? But I just share this, just, you know, off the top of my head, to be able to share with people, to encourage their day, use words of encouragement, of lifting up, of showing interest in others. You know, in contrast to words that harm, words that help need to be honest words. They need to be helpful words. They need to be thought out words, sourced according to God's word. They need to be helpful words, and often few rather than many. Even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps silent. And discerning if he holds his tongue. Words that help are also calming words. Calming words, Proverbs 25:15, a soft answer breaks the bone. Think about that one. I had to think about that. A soft answer breaks the bone. A soft answer turns away wrath, another one says that we're more familiar with along the way. You know, it takes more grace often to respond to anger in gentleness than when it's so easy to respond in anger and criticism with more anger and criticism, doesn't it? We need to be reminded. We need to be taught. We need to be aware. Oh, Lord, help me with that. Maybe we need to get a bucket of feathers, some of us. In Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah, when he encounters God in his holiness. He encounters God in his holiness. The thing that he confesses when he is brought before the holy God, what does he say? He says, I am undone. I am undone. I'm beside myself. In the face of a holy God, what are you undone about, Isaiah, the prophet, the speaker, the mouthpiece of God to the nation of Israel? What are you undone about, Isaiah? And he goes on, he said, I am a man of what? A man of unclean lips. It's interesting, isn't it? Here we find a prophet, a preacher who's gifted of God to be able to speak. But yet with a great gift, there's a great danger, and that could be true. And it's interesting how chapter 3 of James starts out, isn't it? That very first verse of chapter 3, it's all about the tongue, right? But how does he start out? He said, let not many of you become teachers using your tongue, because you're going to come under a stricter judgment in the proper use of your tongue in teaching, but also in the proper use of your tongue when you're not teaching and preaching. And like Isaiah, when he saw the goodness and the holiness of God, oh, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. We don't get all of that, but I think we can still get the point of that, being careful how we speak and how we answer and how we respond and all these things. And so James starts his chapter with the tongue by addressing whom? Paul, writing to young Pastor Timothy, he said, Timothy, make sure that you are an example to other believers. And then he has a whole list of how he's to be an example. And the very first example, he said, be an example in your speech. Be an example in your speech. And Jesus gave his greatest warning to religious show-offs Jesus said, in effect, I hope you get all the praise you can of men down here, because you're not going to get any in heaven. Jesus' words in Matthew 12, he says, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let me end with an old poem, shall I? Our time is gone. Again, it's a poem that's been around a long time. I practiced it a couple of times. If I stumble, get the words, okay? Not the rhythm. Listen, it's good. If all that we say in a single day, with never a word left out, were printed each night in clear black and white, it would make strange reading, no doubt. And then you suppose, before our eyes close, we had to read the whole record through. Then wouldn't you say, and wouldn't we try, a great less talking to do? And I move more than half that many a kink would be smoother in life's tangled thread if half that I say in a single day would be forever unsaid. I like that. That's it. If half that I said were never said, I think I'd have a happier day, and so would others. Sometimes. Maybe often. You know, again, the prayer, Lord, we pray that the words of our mouths and the attitudes of our hearts, as we have considered them today, may be found acceptable in your sight, you who are rock and who are redeemer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for our time together today, and this message has been hard to share, it's been hard to study, it's been hard to read, hard to reread myself and my notes. It's been hard to share with your people today, but Lord, I pray that it has not fallen on deaf ears, but ears that want to hear from you and hearts that want to be more and more like you. Oh Lord, help us to be careful. Help us, Lord, to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts against the world and the world's ways, the world's thinking, and the world's words. And Lord, may our hearts, as they are reflected through our tongue, in our conversations one with another, those we know and those we don't, Lord, may we be among those who are lifting up and not among those who find themselves often criticizing and tearing down. Oh, Lord, that our tongues might be patient with others as we would have them be patient with us. Thank you for your word. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's give our Lord praise. Shall we? Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time together this morning. And again, I ask you would help us. Help me that we might be more like Christ in our conversation. Lord, I pray it to be one here today without Christ. We've talked about all these things, and we want to be like our Savior. But perhaps, Lord, there's some here today who do not yet know the Savior. Lord, your word says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the best day. And Lord, we pray that even today, there be some, if not here, there be some many in other places that bow the knee and say yes to Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I trust Jesus as my Savior, my Lord. Lord, dismiss us now with thy blessing. I pray this now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.